From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, ever the heart throb of Bob After Dark, my friend, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Bob, we're back. Another episode of Bob After Dark. Can't believe it, but we are here.
We are here.
We are in the flesh.
Yes, we are certainly here in flesh. Last week we had a podcast exclusive
episode. Yeah, we
had
a podcast, yeah.
So for the radio fans out there in the world, we're back. You're listening to us on your radio waves.
Yeah, you may be listening on the radio, are you?
Jed TV.
You're watching us on Jed TV.
Or the podcasters down the line.
Podcasters?
Like, I didn't miss an episode last week. Well, no, because it was a podcast exclusive. So for our radio fans or our Jed TV fans, make sure you go check us out wherever you listen to podcasts at.
Yeah.
You can find last week's episode, this week's episode, and an entire archive of Bob After Dark goodness.
A whole catalog.
A whole catalog.
Yeah, buffet.
If this is your first time ever watching Bob After Dark, this is your weekly show, weekly-ish show, where we talk about legends, lore, supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, and, of course, Count Panic's favorite soda flavor. Is he a regular cola guy? Is he a root beer guy?
You know what?
A certain doctor-flavored soda?
Dr. Pepper?
Can't say that, Count. A certain doctored-flavored soda.
You know
what?
I've been trying to, you know, Bob, I'll be honest. I've been trying to cut back on a lot of pop. If I do have a pop, maybe try to go for a diet pop, right?
Okay.
Make it feel like you're losing some calories with a nice diet
soda.
So
it's just a regular diet cola, or do you have, like, a diet preference? You know, some people like the diet Sprites or something.
That's the old debate. I'll tell you this for sure, Bob. I'll tell you this for sure. I'm a dark pop guy.
Okay, so diet regular cola.
Yeah, I'm not big in the Sprites of the world, the clear pop. I like a nice dark pop. Now, whether it be Pepsi or one brand or the other brand, we could name. Whether it be one brand or the other brand, then it's fine by me.
Now, Count, I actually just got a message from a fan who said, "Where's the Count Panics update?" I skipped. Usually we get the Count Panic's weekend update. Oh. So Count Panic, weekend update, get at me.
You know, Bob, of course, making the rounds this past weekend, having a good time getting around the region. I actually, you know, because you, at heart, Bob, are also a filmmaker.
I am, yes. We went to film school together, Count Panic. We filmed school. Yeah, back in the day.
Yes.
Yes.
But, you know, there's the same circle we kind of run with as well. So, you know, a fella was saying, "Hey, I need some help with this project." So I helped out with that. And you know what? You never know, Bob. When we get the itch, we may return back to our glory days.
You know,
of filmmaking.
I am too busy these days.
I know.
But if the day ever comes where I'd sit down and write something, I have not been on a film set in a few years since we won that award for the 48-hour film festival.
People's Choice.
When we teamed with Alex Shrednoslak.
Famous.
Shreddy, I miss you.
Cashing out.
Yeah, I know. No, we weren't. Cashing out's what you worked on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was on something else. But no,
we worked on projects too.
Alex is a dear old friend of mine.
48 hours.
Yeah, 48-hour film fest. But I digress. That's great.
You know
so
what we should do?
What should we do?
We should enter a film competition.
Oh, jeez.
A spooky film competition.
A spooky film competition. Yeah. The me and you broadcasting at the end of the world type deal.
Yeah.
If somebody could write it, I just don't have time.
Yeah.
To like put together an entire production. Like, if somebody wants to sit down and write that short out, then I will be happy to act in it. I am not editing it. I'm too busy.
That's the hard part, right?
I edit every week the audio for the podcast, right?
Yeah.
Video is a whole nother monster. You got color correction, gamma correction, this, that, and another. Audio, just make sure those levels are nice and spiked where they're supposed to be. Give me audio editing any day of the week.
Oh, we're spiking tonight.
We're spiking tonight.
How's your weekend?
Oh, you know, I was actually, funny enough, I was in werewolf country this weekend.
Really?
I was. Elkhorn, Wisconsin, the site of the Beast of Bray Road story.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Yeah, I went up there for the Elkhorn outdoor flea market and antique thing.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, one of my hobbies outside of being at in the studio and putting as much work in the show as we do every week. One of my small hobbies I have outside of here. I hit a lot of antique stores.
You do?
I do. I hit a lot of antique stores and flea markets, stuff like that, because, you know, I have other hobbies to fuel, and sometimes finding stuff at these, you know, antique stores, stuff like that, is the best option for us.
Yeah.
So I do that. And one of the particular ones, me and Queen of the Night are a big fan of the Elkhorn one, obviously, next to Bray Road. It's only like an hour-ish out from here, so it's easy drive, easy trip, and figured I'd go check it out. And I was not disappointed. I walked away with an old vintage video game console, and I'm as happy as could be about that.
You gotta be careful sometimes, Bob, because those items could be haunted that you're picking.
They certainly can be, and maybe there'll be an episode someday where we talk about haunted items that people bought at flea markets or garage sales or something. So that was my weekend. Did that, and been playing catch up on Sandman. If anybody out there is a Neil Gaiman fan, read the book, the comic. I read it when I was in college, earlier than that.
Great wrestler as well.
Not the same Sandman.
Oh, okay.
I highly recommend it. Netflix show holds up really well to the comic. Chef's kiss.
Really? That's good.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So if this is your first time, I kind of did the spiel already, but first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, we split the show up into two parts when we talk about Legends, Lore, and Supernatural. First part of the show is we look at weird, creepy news stories of the week. This is where you, the fans, or me, the researcher, find news articles that have anything to do with the paranormal, ghost sightings, UFO sightings, cryptid stuff, making it in the mainstream media, advances in science that borderline on science fiction, or just general weird. Sometimes
I got a fan one. I think
you actually have one.
I know John texted us both the same thing.
I did not get a text from John.
Maybe it didn't go through.
Okay, thanks, John. I know you're listening. I didn't get a text, but are you actually starting off the show with a news article?
It's a short one.
No. This is a first. I don't know if this is a first or not, but this is definitely a thing. This is you take it, because I'm ready for the hashtag Bob's take for once.
Well, this comes from John. John got this from.
Thanks, John.
What site did John get this from? It comes from WKDQ.com. WKDQ.com.
WKDED.
Yes.
Yep. I got you.
It's about cemeteries. This particular cemetery is in Chicago. Graceland Cemetery. Are you familiar?
I am. I've been there before. Eternal Silence statue, giant green.
I believe this is where it's heading.
Yeah.
So this is a statue. It's a statue with a cloak over its head, a hooded individual wearing a cloak. Eternal Silence statue.
Yes.
The legend says, Bob, if you stare into its eyes, you'll soon have a brief flash in your mind of how you will one day meet your end.
Yes.
Did you know about that?
I have, and I've done it.
Well, what? Really?
Yeah. I've been to Graceland. It's actually And I'm a little biased because I'm a Chicago boy, but Graceland is the best cemetery on the planet. It is. I recommend everybody to go out there and check it out. I know it's a little morbid to be like, oh, yeah, you should go check out the cemetery. No. This isn't like your normal, like, trip to a cemetery. People with, there's a term I use, but it's not Bob After Dark appropriate. People with, I'll say screw you money. I could say screw you, right?
Screw you.
Yeah. People with screw you money go to Graceland to live out their legacy of being buried there. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as just like a normal tomb. I mean, there are normal tombstones.
Wow. Yeah.
But for the most part, there's mausoleums that are giant. There's giant monoliths. There's legit Pantheons that are built for these people. I think it's the Sears family have like a legitimate island on a home, like a man-made lake. So somebody dug a lake and they put an island on it, and it's the Pullman family. So like you go and you see these things, it's a sight to be seen. Like Ernie Banks is buried there, right? And his tomb is literally a baseball glove sticking up with a baseball into it. But I have done the Eternal Silence is by far my favorite like cemetery piece in any cemetery.
Statue,
it is a scary looking statue. I have stared in its eyes, and I could say comfortably, I did not get a vision of my own death.
Okay.
That I will, I'll bunk that one. But it's a common thing. If you read, like, if you go into, like, the main office of Graceland, they have this little pamphlet that tells you where everybody's buried, like, if you want to take a walking tour. And in particular, they tell you that one in the pamphlet, too. So look at your own cost. For me, maybe the thing was just like, nah, Bob, that's a surprise for you. I've heard other people have had, like, weird visions. Not me.
Not you. Well, maybe for some out there, but what an eerie thing, Bob. You stare into the statue, and the statue kind of predicts your demise.
Yes. Would you like to ask me?
Hashtag Bob's take.
It's a great piece. It's a great statue, and it's always cool to have, like, a legend associated with something. We'll have to do an episode about Graceland in the near future. It's one, like I said, it is my favorite cemetery to go to. It's on a whole other level.
There you have it.
Yep. Yeah. All right. You ready to move? John, thank you for submitting a story.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to be like John and make me not work as hard? Find news articles and send them to us. You can reach out to us, bob@bobafterdark.com. Slide into these DMs on all social medias @BobAfterDark, and you too can make my life easier for this show.
Yeah, come on.
All right, you ready to move on then?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, so our first news story, or I guess our second news story, comes to us from the New York Post. And before we continue, I want to preface by saying I am not a sports ball person. I don't know if you guys could guess that by the tone of my voice. I am not a sports ball person. However, I'm going to be reporting on a sports-related thing here. The Rays, it is a baseball team, I'm assuming. Am I correct on that, Kyle Panic? The Rays?
The Rays.
The Rays.
I believe you're right about
okay.
that.
Okay, you're a sports ball person.
I don't know. I like the Railcats, Bob.
The Gary Railcats. I wonder if their stadium's haunted.
You never know.
You know, we can find that out and do an investigation there. Anyway, So the Rays have a player named Yandy Diaz. The title of the article is Yandy Diaz worried about ghosts in alleged haunted hotel. This article is written by Matthew Neshishish, Neschis. We'll read the article. Several Rays players aren't exactly enjoying their stay at the historical Pfister Hotel in downtown Milwaukee. The landmark hotel, which was built in 1893, has garnered a reputation for seemingly being haunted by paranormal spirits. And while many Tampa players don't mind crashing at the eccentric location during their two-game series against the Brewers, others are quite scared. Yandy Diaz, the 6'2", 215-pound third baseman, headlines the list of the most afraid of ghosts possibly lurking in the shadows. His teammates did little to ease his concerns, taping a cartoon ghost to the front of Diaz's locker ahead of Sunday's game in Detroit alongside the Spanish word for watch out, which I'm not even going to try to butcher. Diaz flirted with the idea of staying in his own hotel following Tuesday's contest in Milwaukee, but was promised a room in the newest tower of vintage. The Pfister was guaranteed to be ghost-free. All I want is to not have any ghosts in my room, Diaz said to the team's manager at the Tampa Bay Times. Diaz isn't the only player who considers the hotel to be haunted. Outfielder Roman Quinn claimed to hear of multiple stories of paranormal encounters from the former Phillies teammates, including outlines of non-existent beings on beds, disappearing figures in halls, and clothes mysteriously moving around rooms. G-Man Choi is no stranger dealing with ghosts either, as his biography in the Rays media guide proudly states that he is terrified of beings and believes to have had many encounters with them, including hugs and whispers. If I see a ghost, I'll say hi to him, Choi joked last week during the interview. And pitcher Ryan Yarbo, for one, is not willing to buy these haunted rumors. I think Ryan falls on the team's skeptic line. I'm not too concerned, Yarbo said. I'm not saying I don't believe in any of that. I just feel like you don't need to overly concern yourself with it. Maybe bad things won't happen. But no, I think it's fine. I think certain guys are intrigued and some guys want nothing to do with it. So I'm just even-kneeled about it. But Yandy is the guy. Good for that teammate. That's the stand-up teammate.
Yeah.
And that being said, the 30-year-old lefty wasn't able to roll out some antics by his teammates. I'm sure something will happen. I'm not sure what Yarbo said. We've got some funny guys on our team. So hashtag panics take.
Well, you know, if truth or not, there's a lot of stuff that's paranormal that goes into the world of baseball. You could probably do paranormal baseball stories for an episode as well there, Bob. But, you know.
Baseball.
Yeah. You know what the.
We did the, remember we did the haunted car episode with James?
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about cars. I probably know less about baseball than I do cars.
Well, you get a baseball expert in here, but then you have to teach him the ghost stories of it. Well, how
about Steve? Steve's a big baseball fan. Yeah, we'll get Steve on.
Nothing bigger, though, than the curse of the Chicago Cubs.
We'll
curse.
You know, we should look at that as an episode someday. Mark that down. We'll get Steve back in the studio. We'll do a Chicago Cubs curse.
During the World Series.
With the guy who reached for the ball, right?
Steve Bartman. We'll bring him on.
We'll bring him on. Can we get Steve?
You know what? Steve Bartman hasn't done an interview, I think, ever.
I bet we could be the one.
It's been a long enough time. People forgive the guy. They won a championship. Come on.
But nothing like a good story close to Chicago's heart, too. We are big in Milwaukee, by the way.
We are big
in Wisconsin. It's a state that welcomes Bob After Dark willingly.
We do. We're open arms, Wisconsin.
With open arms in Wisconsin. Yes. So that's... it's an interesting hotel. And
Yeah. Got to visit.
All right. Ready to move on then?
Sure.
Okay. So this next story is from Kiss FM, which is another radio station, not in our umbrella.
It used to be something.
I don't think this is Kiss. I'm sorry. K-I-I-S. I guess my brain just thought it was Kiss FM, Kiss FM, whatever. This story is actually making its rounds since I've researched it. It's popped up on different places. I will share the image on the Children of the Night Facebook page for you all to see and look at and judge for yourself. But its title is Eerie Ghost Girl Photobombs Boy. This is written by Dave Basner. An innocent picture of a little boy inside a stack of tires at a playground has become so traumatizing for the 12-year-old in the photo that he had to spend the night in his mom's room. That's because if you look closely in the tires, there's this kid taking a selfie, there's a kid inside the tires, and then there's this really faint face behind the kid in the tires. Some people believe that there's a ghost of a girl behind him. It happened when a 12-year-old Christian Ashmore was looking through some photos soon after they were taken. He saw the one of the tires and noticed what he thought to be a spider web by his head, but as he looked closer, he saw it was actually the face of a young girl. He showed it to his mom, Aisha, who was certain that Kristen and his 14-year-old brother, Gabriel, also in the picture, edited it. But when they swore they didn't, Aisha played around with the pic herself to be sure and realized that the photo hadn't been altered at all. She explained to the radio station here, "I do believe in ghosts, but I was a little skeptical. And I was like, well, there's got to be a reason for this. So I asked them if they added the face on Photoshop, and they were both adamant they hadn't. I tried to see if I could edit a face in myself, but I couldn't do it. They were so shocked and scared. I knew they haven't messed around with anything in the photo. My boys aren't advanced Photoshop editors. I looked at the times when they took the photo and when they sent it to me. It was literally seconds. There wasn't time for them to edit it. Christian was so scared he had to sleep in his mom's room that night. But now that the time has kind of passed since the photo came up, the family feels lucky to have such a unique picture," Aisha stated. "We're at the point now where we find the picture more exciting than scary. It's a rare catch, I think. It turned into a bit of excitement where we thought, wow, I can't believe we actually captured that." Unable to explain the ghostly face, Aisha shared it to Facebook, as you do, where it's garnered a ton of skeptics out there in the world saying it's fake. And that's the story. I'm actually sending this to you right now, Count, so you can kind of take a peek at it.
Sure.
I wish Steve was here because Steve's my photo altering person, but I'm curious to see what you think about it. So I'm sending this over to you right now. All right. You get a chance to look quick while we're doing this.
Yeah.
It's, you know, for me, and I have experience in both, obviously, like some photography in the background. As we talked about, we were good film students once upon a time ago. So I'm no slouch when it comes to Photoshop skills. I think there was another kid.
Yeah,
I don't think that's a ghostly image. It's too concrete.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's a reflection. It's either a reflection or it's what do they call it, where you have two images side by side, the sun kind of blurred it out and made the image shift.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking, but the hashtag panic steak, I'm interested to see what you say.
Yeah, Bob, I'm going to kind of show it closely if you're watching here. You could kind of see there's a kid.
And of course, if you guys are listening as well, you could see it on the Children of the Night Facebook page. I'm putting it up right now as we speak, as Count gives his opinion on the photo.
So if you're looking at that, or you saw it on the whole Jed TV here, you know, Bob, that is very concrete, and I don't think that really it looks doctored to me. I think it's Photoshop.
You think it's Photoshop?
I think it's Photoshop.
What are the kids gaining by adding the image?
Kid, the kid would be just like kind of hiding out there.
I know it's not like
makeup.
What's the best way you could? The tires are like straight up, right? Yeah. It's like a little pillar.
I'm gonna say it's Photoshop.
I think it's a play of light.
Really, that's a pretty good play of light, though.
I think that's what it is. I think it's an after image. That's the word I was looking for. After I think it's an after image.
Right.
I don't know. It's one of the and it's. What are you gaining by adding a image like that and just going to Facebook versus like, oh, my local media outlet? I don't know.
Fame and fortune. I'm going to say it's fake, Bob. Final take.
So you think it's a fake?
Fake.
I'm not going to say straight up fake. I don't believe it's a ghostly image.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm so.
More than meets the eye.
More than meets the eye, I would say.
I'd say so too.
Count.
Yeah.
You ready to move on to our last story?
Sure.
This one's scary.
Scarier than the kid in a tire?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Because a creepy 1.5-foot sea bugs were discovered in their pure nightmare fuel. You ever see Alien?
Yeah.
Oh, these things look straight like facehuggers. All right. So the story comes to us from BGR, written by Joshua Hawkins. A group of scientists recently trapped a massive isopod in the deep sea off the coast of Mexico. These isopods became famous during observations in 2019 as a video of them eating an alligator went viral. Now researchers are studying the giant sea bug more in depth. Of course, these giant sea bugs are actually bugs at all. Instead, they're giant isopods known as, and I'm going to butcher this, but I'm going to give it a shot, Bathynoius euconesis. Like other isotopes, these are considered insects, though they don't fit into any category. And as the researchers are digging more into this, they realize that this thing is more scavenger than it is, you know, it wants to pick up things that are left over or something that's harmed. It's not going after them directly. They are very fond of tropical water, so I don't have to deal with them here in the freshwater, lovely place of Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
And it's saying that it took 51 days for these things to devour an already dead alligator. And they're saying that the biggest one they found so far, like I was saying at the beginning, 1.5 feet long from head to tail. And it is a whitish color, and you can't change my mind. I think this thing looks like a facehugger. Once again, sending over the link to you so you can kind of take a peek at it yourself and tell me what you think. But absolutely horrifying, man. I would say outside of dolls and the concept of AI, things that live in deep sea absolutely horrify me. I sent you it over. You can just see. Yeah. What do you think of that?
Well, that is terrifying.
That thing is 1.5 feet long.
Yeah, that's a.
I mean, keep in mind, it's not coming straight after me. It's a scavenger. It's not a predator. No. It's not hunting me. But I'd rather, you know, this thing not come after me.
Well, that's the thing. You know, you talk about bodies of water here, as far as whether it be ocean or even here close by us, Lake Michigan. You go out there at night, you just stare at it. It looks, you never know what's lingering in those waters, especially though an ocean. You got sharks and things like this, nightmare fuel. Terrifying, terrifying, Bob.
Terrifying.
This just tells you, stay out of the water.
So kid in the tire or the 1.5 foot sea bug, what's the more scarier thing?
Oh, the sea bug. That's real.
You know, it's
the tire very, kids Photoshop.
You know, I want to point something out here real quick. This is just it's very rare to see you very adamantly skeptic.
Yeah.
I don't get me wrong, you were not a very zealous believer. You're kind of right in the middle ground outside. You're a very open-minded vampire instead of just being an openly believer. You're not openly skeptic. But this, you are a hardcore skeptic on it. I'm kind of surprised at you.
Bob, the face looks like a human. The face is very concrete, as you said. There's no way that's a ghost. They at least should have doctored it where it could be kind of ghosty. It was really just a person's face at the end of the day, with maybe some ghoulish makeup.
Ghoulish, he says.
Ghoulish. But, Bob, I could smell a phony a mile away. And that was a phony.
All right, Count Panic.
Yeah.
So we finished our spooky news stories of the week. And I got to preface this because we're going to take a quick break here in a second. Sure. However, I want to preface that when we come back, we are going to be talking about the most ridiculous, silliest, and outright terrifying thing we have ever talked about on the show to date.
Wow.
And I want to say that we have talked about things such as the Polish disco demon. We have talked about the cactus cat.
Yeah.
And we've talked about the red ghost, the camel.
What about the walking pants?
Oh, you were talking about the Fresno Nightwalker.
The Fresno Nightwalker.
Yeah, well, you know what? We got a caller. Why don't we take them live? Let's take them live before we go to break.
All right, let's take a caller.
Yep, you're on the air, caller.
Hey there, Bob.
Hey there, John. Thanks for sending in the news article to us.
Thank you very much for commenting. That was very interesting.
Now, John, somehow I missed your text. I apologize. Maybe I scrolled it and I didn't notice. But go on. Go on. What's on your mind tonight?
That was the weekend you were on your talk there, I think, in Wisconsin. So, you know, I know you were busy. But, thank you for the commenting on that. I didn't know Artie Banks was buried at that cemetery as well. So.
Yeah, there are the Pullman families there, the Sears families there. The dailies are there. The who's who of Chicagoland from the past 100 years, they are buried at Graceland.
Well, I've never heard of it. So I'm at the,
I know it's going to sound morbid, but it is a beautiful place to take a walk. And there's so many interesting monuments to like dead people that you will be blown away. These look nicer than most apartment buildings.
Sort of like a museum of dead people.
Absolutely. I can't recommend it enough. I go check it out, really.
But also, you know what? I'm always intrigued, whether it's athletes or whoever, to see what they dabble in other than, you know, their specific careers or something like that. And interesting to find out that you're into antiques.
I am, yes. I you're not going to catch me sitting down trying to diagnose how old a bell is or something, but it's fun to look at these things. I'm currently into sherry, so sherry glasses and decanters. That's what I was educating myself on this previous trip. Shout out to my friends in the Disciplines Ghostbusters, Mike and Emily. They'll get a laugh out of that, but absolutely.
Well, there is a place on the boulevard there. I don't know if you're aware of, but it's quite interesting. Also, it's an antique mall.
I've been there, the one in Highland.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for calling in, John. We appreciate you.
Yeah, and one more thing. That,
hit me.
That Cubs curse was the ghost. It wasn't Bartman. It was not
the goat.
But the goat.
But they say Bartman was like a part of that.
I know nothing about sports, guys. We'll hold this episode for when I could get somebody in the studio that knows sports. No, absolutely, John. You're good.
My daughter, Melissa, whom I think you know.
Yes, we've met a couple of times.
A very loyal listener of you as well. Thinks that curse is still on the way the Cubs are playing today.
So. They won a World Series recently, didn't they?
2016.
That's recent.
You know, but just saying. So
no problem. Well, tell Melissa I said thank you for listening, Melissa.
Good show, Bob.
All right, John. Have a good one.
Yep, you too.
Can you imagine if they didn't win that World Series? That curse would be really out of control. Although it was out of control for over 100 years. But if they just blew it in 2016, oh my goodness. Imagine that.
You know, so if you want to be like John and call into the show, Our phone number is 219-845-11. If Steve Bartman calls, I'll listen to what you have to say. 219-845-1100. You can call in anytime. If you got a question about the show, weird ghostly encounter or anything of the sorts. So as I was saying before we take this break, this is the most ridiculous thing we've ever talked about.
Okay.
Hands down.
All right.
And I got to give a quick dedication to two people. One, this show was directly inspired by the Queen of the Night buying blow molds.
Okay.
I won't say of what because it'll spoil it, but I've been indoctored into blow mold collecting.
All right.
And the other one is a mad scientist by the name of Dr. Bob Z. Not me, but Dr. Bob Z. That's all I'm going to say. He's a mad scientist. All right, so let's take a quick break for our radio and Jed TV fans. We'll be right back. And to our podcast fans, you're about to be hearing words from a show that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez.
And we're back.
Wow.
Hey, Count Panic.
Hey.
What did you do,
Bob,
during break?
I searched far and wide.
Far and wide, he says.
For all the tires out there to search for ghosts.
Ghostly tires,
ghostly
he says.
Ghosts hiding in ghostly tires.
Did you find any ghost tires?
Bob, they're all Photoshop.
Did you find a ghost in a tire?
No ghost.
Instead of ghost in the show, ghost in the tire.
No, yeah, ghost
no,
in
no
the
ghost
tire.
In the tire.
No ghost.
Would you like to know what I did during break?
What'd you do?
I went to a baseball game to go educate myself on how baseball works.
Really?
I learned what a run batted in means.
There you go.
An RBI means run batted in. Don't ask me what it means.
No.
I just know that an RBI means runs batted in.
Bob, you could pass a baseball test right now.
I could tell you something.
You got to go to Railcats.
A Railcats, you can go. I don't know what they do. At Sox Park. Sox Park, I know you. There's a... MGD's the big beer there. Dad was a season ticket holder for the Sox many years. But I digress. Yeah. I digress.
MGD.
Or you can go up to the Brewers games and they have brats and Miller Lite, according to the Queen of the
And the brats will run around.
Apparently, I don't know.
The races.
Been.
They run around in a
that's,
race.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I appreciate you telling me that.
It's a famous
okay,
thing.
Let's move on.
Okay.
All right. Count Panic.
Yeah.
I got to preface this story for two reasons, three reasons. Preface our lore of the week on three reasons, okay? The first reason the first, as I was saying, the Queen of the Night has indoctored me into learning how to buy vintage Halloween blow molds
okay.
of a specific thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to say that because it'll ruin it. The mad scientist, Dr. Bob Z., has created a hyper intelligent thing of these. Okay, that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
And then the third thing, I'm going to lead up to it with the third thing. Have you ever seen Jumanji? And I'm not talking about the new one with The Rock. Not The Rock. Who's in the new Jumanji?
The Rock, yeah.
Not that one.
No.
Robin Williams yep. Jumanji film.
Of course.
There is a scene in the original Jumanji that I saw as a child. That has completely, how do I say this? Completely traumatized me as a kid. And as an adult, that has traumatized me through life.
What could it be?
At one point during the film, the heroes, the kids and the adults, are being attacked by this thing called the man-eating plant. Are you familiar?
The man-eating plant.
You're familiar, right?
Yeah,
so they're in the living room, and then the plant's coming down like the chimney, this giant flower that's trying to eat them, right? Are you following
me?
I follow you. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
right? For whatever reason, that has stuck in my brain, rent-free, mind you, for the past 25 years, and it's left me absolutely horrified.
I bet, yeah.
Something about plants to this day always kind of leave me a little uneasy. And I could tell you right away, I'm not afraid of plants. It's silly.
No.
But it's like the certain uneasiness around like certain types of plants that will make me uneasy, right?
Can you name a couple of certain types of plants?
No, it's just sometimes you being around plants will just make me feel like
maybe certain plants.
No. Like I don't know how to describe it. It's just I imagine this thing, or like corn stalks. You ever hear corn stalks in the wind? It's horrifying.
Eerie.
But I digress. Okay, you're following me so far.
I follow you.
What I'm getting at is, what if I was to tell you?
Yeah.
I have found legitimate lore involving a man, woman, or person eating vegetable. Okay. You're laughing.
I'm laughing.
You're laughing, but the lore exists, Count Bag. I'm telling you, the lore exists.
Sounds silly to me.
And specifically, we are talking this week about the devouring gourd.
The devouring gourd.
The devour. You laugh.
I am. It's a
you
funny
laugh.
Name.
You laugh. But this is a legitimate piece of lore from the Bantu regions. Okay.
Okay.
It's like southern Africa region. Okay. Are you following me?
I'm following you. This is a gourd that eats
people.
Eats people.
Okay. Okay. You're with me.
I'm with you.
And by the way, this thing's massive. It's a giant gourd.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get to reading the lore. Okay. This is called the devouring gourd. I'm going to read this from the Cryptid Wiki. In Bantu folklore, gourds and pumpkins have the potential of growing into huge devouring creatures. Such plants are said to grow where evil sorcerers or ogres were slain. According to legend, the devouring gourd of Usamabara was discovered by a group of little boys as they were playing. "Look how giant that gourd is getting," said one of the boys. To their surprise, the gourd responded, "If you pluck me, I'll pluck you," it said. The boys ran home and told their mother, who refused to believe them. But their sisters insisted on seeing the large gourd. And when they were taken to it, they said, as their brothers had, "Look how big that gourd is getting." This time, the gourd did not respond, and the girls went home to complain that their brothers were being liars. As the gourd was not plucked, it continued to grow. Eventually, it became the size of a house, uprooted itself, and went about swallowing everyone in the village. After consuming everyone within reach, it rolled itself into a lake. Only one woman had survived the gourd's rampage, and she was pregnant. When her son was born, they lived together in the ruins of the village. When the son got around to asking where his father was, his mother told him, "He was swallowed by a giant gourd, which is now in the lake." The son decided to avenge his father and went out on the lake, where he could see the gourd's ears sticking out from the water, and he proceeded to taunt the vegetable. "Gourd, come out!" he yelled. "Gourd, come out!" Annoyed and enraged, the gourd hauled itself out of the lake, but the boy was ready for it and fired a volley of arrows into it. The 10th arrow, as it struck, killed the gourd, and it died with a roar that all could be heard, all the way to Vuga, the neighboring village. The boy cut it open with a knife, released the villagers unharmed, and went to become the great leader of his people. Gourds are not only plants that devour and kill people. Another carnivorous plant, a pumpkin, grew over the burial of an evil shape-shifting porcupine, and it repeated everything was said to it, and when an axe was brought to destroy it, it proceeded to swallow everyone. The poisonous sala fruits of the Ranga have arms, legs, and wild spears and shields as well. And that is the quick tale of the devouring gourd. And I understand you guys are probably really interested in the story of the shape-shifting evil porcupine. We'll get to that in the future.
Okay,
that's the Bantu legends are wonderful. They're great. Sometimes, you know, when these legends are passed down, when you look at them from, like, you know, like an Aesop fable standpoint, mm-hmm. it's like we're teaching these lessons to people to, you know, like we're telling these stories to kids or something to teach a lesson. There is no lesson about the gourd. I guess maybe pick the gourd while it's ripe or it'll eat you.
That might be the only lesson we could gain from.
But I don't think there's a lesson here.
Oh.
I'm going on a whim and saying I'm believing in the devouring gourd.
So you're asking me if I believe in this devouring gourd?
I'm not asking if you believe in the. I'm just saying I believe in the devouring gourd.
Do I have a choice? So this is a real. This is a true story.
This is a piece of lore
lore
from the Cryptid Wiki.
Okay.
This is a legitimate creature that is talked about in lore.
You know what? I mean, you go to these like stands that sell gores, and I guess it's kind
or
of
or blow molds that are shaped like pumpkins, like what I have at home. We have an army of blow mold pumpkins.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's the devouring gourd. And I understand that was a short story because I have something to back it up.
What's the what do you
got? I have another story. So this is a 2-for-1 lore of the week.
Yeah.
But I'm interested. We got to talk about the gourd, the devouring gourd first before we move on to the buff the story a little bit. What was your take from the story, Kyle? Well, you don't have to tell me if you believe it or not. No. Just tell me your take.
Well, I do
away
have
from
questions
it.
Though.
Yeah, hit me. You can ask questions.
So the gourd obviously has a mouth because it's devouring gourd, right? The gourd has to devour. But does gourd also have eyes? And
no, the depictions of the gourd is literally imagine you cut a gourd in half and you move it like a mouth up and down.
Okay, so like a Venus flytrap.
A Venus flytrap, but a gourd.
A gourd.
Trap. How I there's probably never been a podcast that said the word gourd than what we have this week.
We
so
like
somewhere the SEO, yeah, I know the SEO for this for all the gourd fans, we're going to be
#gourd.
#gourd. We are going to be the biggest thing on the SEO for fans of that particular. I think it's a vegetable, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're calling it a vegetable.
Squash.
All right. So, what other questions do you have about this?
And we don't. You might have mentioned the size of the gourd.
It said it got to the size of a house.
Well, big house, little house.
It's just the legend said house.
Legend said house.
Well, we'll say a moderate.
There's tiny
house.
Homes out there.
We'll
now,
say it's. We'll say it's a moderate house.
That's still impressive. The gourd is the size of.
It's
a,
and it's swallowing people. It swallowed an entire village.
And one swoop. Just one bite? Like a Snickers?
They apparently it didn't kill them. Oh. Just like kept them in its gullet.
Well, I don't know.
Because I mean the boy was able to like save them after years. I mean they came out of the gourd unharmed.
Oh, sounds horrible.
I told you this is the most ridiculous episode we're ever covering.
So how do you defeat a gourd?
Yeah, in this case he fired arrows into it.
Yeah, but is that the only way?
Listen, I don't know what the kid had handy, okay? But we were looking at the legends of these man-eating fruits and vegetables, okay?
Yeah.
A pumpkin. You follow me so far?
Pumpkin, yeah.
The pumpkin that was able to mimic people's voices.
Yeah.
The guy came at it with an axe and wasn't able to destroy it. It took arrows.
Mm-hmm.
In the case with the gourd, I mean, the kid just had arrows. He fired 9 of them and it didn't kill it, but on the 10th arrow... The 10th arrow killed the gourd. So if you're going up against the Bantu legends of the devouring gourd or the talking pumpkin or the poisonous flower that carries a spear, you should probably carry some arrows with you.
You would think so.
I'm assuming that he's not lobbing the arrows. I'm assuming he's drawing them on a bow.
Yeah, the only way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, that's good.
Okay, so where do you stand on the devouring gourd?
Sure, I'm all for it.
So
more power to the gourd. #gourd.
#gourd.
Good catch on. It would be a good movie, though, wouldn't it?
I think there was a movie, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess Killer Tomatoes is going to be.
Close, right?
Yeah, they were just giant tomatoes. There.
You know the creator? I met the creator. That lived. He lived over here.
He lived here?
Yeah, he lived in, like, Porter.
Really?
I digress. That's a story for outside the show. But, yeah, no, a true story. I met the...
Well, yeah.
Okay, so do you believe that the story of the devouring gourd is real?
You know what, Bob? I know.
Okay, hold on. Controversial take.
Yeah.
Do you believe that the devouring gourd is real?
You know I was skeptical about the ghost kid in attire and if he was really a ghost child or not.
Okay.
To me, that looked Photoshop. Now, this story sounds like it could be true.
There are paintings depicting
the gourd
from ancient times. And believe it or not, this thing has a following in some part of the world because you could go online and buy devouring gourd merchandise.
Really?
I'm going to buy a sticker.
You haven't gotten anything yet.
I found the merch and I was like, do I want to buy some? I'm going to buy a sticker at the very least to put
what
on.
What else do they got, Keychain?
I found thermoses. It's the devouring gourd. We're bringing that out. It's now the devouring gourd is now number 3. On my list of favorite paranormal entities.
What's the
Mothman, Loveland Frog, Devouring Gourd.
Devouring Gourd. What will it take for Devouring Gourd to become number 1?
Nothing. Mothman will always be top tier.
Yeah. Well, until the Devouring Gourd gets a statue. Then.
Somewhere out there. Okay. All right. So I obviously that's a shorter story.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, you know, I say I want to do something with these shorter stories, either shorter episodes someday down the line, podcast exclusives or blog entries. No. I could not pass up the opportunity to tell you guys that story in the main episode.
No.
So with that said, I had to buff this episode out a little bit. What if I was to tell you that there was a humanoid figure supposedly sighted that is dubbed the Veggie Man?
The Veggie Man.
The Veggie Man.
I would say, what's this Veggie Man all about?
Are you ready to hear the story?
I want to hear the
story.
The
Veggie Man. Okay, we're going to read this from the Cryptid Wiki.
Make my decision
afterwards. Yeah. Okay, so according to the Cryptid Wiki, West Virginia has played host to an extraordinary number of unusual creatures. They range widely from the widely popular known Mothman to Point Pleasant to the Flatwoods Monster in Braxton County. Few people, however, even within the state itself, up until this point, I'm going to give the Moth Boys podcast a little credit because that's where I learned this story from. Up until this point, knows the story of the strange case in West Virginia known as the Vegetable Man. The Vegetable Man was said to be very tall, arguably over 7 feet, thin, with semi-human shape. It also appeared to be partially plant-based and possessed large ears with striking eyes that oscillated in colors, going from red to yellow rapidly. Its arms were thin and gave the impression of reeds by a riverbank. On the ends of its long fingers were suction cups that had thorns protruding from them. In 1968, in the woods around Fairmount, West Virginia, Jennings Frederick was out for a hunt. As he moved through the woods in search of game, Frederick heard an odd noise. It sounded like a record player running faster than it should, a sort of high-pitched jabbering. He tracked down the source of what the sound was, and he came face-to-face with the creature. Jennings would go on to say that the being looked weakened and sickly, and the jabbering increased as the closer he got. Suddenly, he can make out words, and cryptozoologist after the fact thinks this might have been like telepathic communication, meaning the thoughts were projected into this Jennings brain from this creature.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you my best Veggie Man impression
okay.
here. You need not fear me. I wish to communicate. I come as a friend. We know of you all. I come in peace. I wish medical assistance. I need your help.
Pretty good at that.
I try. I just study the Veggie Man often.
How's the gourd go?
If you pluck me, I'll pluck you.
Wow. That sounds familiar. Who was that?
It kind of sounds like Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Okay, anyway. With that, the creature lunged at him and wrapped Frederick up in what seemed surprisingly strong arms. Frederick was unable to break away from the embrace as the creature pierced his skin with thorns on its fingers. While it drained blood from him, Frederick found himself enthralled with flashing colors of the creature's eyes. Then, almost as quickly as it pounced, the Vegetable Man raced away up a hill. Indeed, running up that hill. Ba-dumps. If anybody gets that joke. Stranger Things,
yeah,
SEO.
Yeah. Right.
Frederick then claimed to hear a deep humming from the other side of the hill. He surmised that it might have been from the sound of the creature's ship taking off, implying that I guess this was an extraterrestrial origin creature. Mm-hmm. To date, this 1968 encounter was the only sighting of the Vegetable Man.
Okay.
Okay, you're laughing.
You know what?
You're laughing. I think there's a lot to unpack here.
Okay, yeah, there is.
So let's start. I'll let you just kind of go to town with it.
All right.
Okay, what's your first question? Because I sense it from over here.
Well, this is a terrifying story at the end of the day. I mean, it's a Vegetable Man. But I'm still kind of confused about the premise of it all.
What do you mean by premise?
Like, what's the dang point of the Vegetable Man?
Well, it's not for us to decide. Apparently, the Vegetable Man is not of this earth, I don't think.
Yeah, but what do you do if you come across the Vegetable Man?
Apparently nothing. I mean, we haven't seen one since 1968. I got a theory for it.
Hopefully it'll shed some light on this.
I'm not giving a theory first. Oh. I need to hear what you think of the Vegetable Man. Bob, like, I know you got more to unpack.
Yeah,
here.
I don't know if I...
And folks, if you're listening and you're interested, call in 219-845-1100. Yeah. Do you believe in the Vegetable Man?
Bob, I feel like I'm less leaning to believe in the Vegetable Man. I feel like the gourd was... The gourd might have been more believable by this point. But the Vegetable Man, the Vegetable Man is actually, okay, you know, you would think it'd be the opposite.
Do we have a caller?
Right? We do not.
Oh, you were looking at the phone.
I was just looking around.
You're okay, you go.
You would think it'd be a situation where the Vegetable Man would be the more believable entity, because it's a man, it talks, it's a Vegetable Man, whereas a gourd is just a gourd. But here in this case, there's things not adding up about this Vegetable Man. That's why I kind of want to know how you dissect a little bit more here.
Okay. West Virginia is an epicenter of a lot of high strangeness in the world. Peel, the gentleman who wrote the Mothman Prophecies, had a theory about what goes on in West Virginia, and specifically there, but there's other spots around the world. West Virginia is what Peel calls a window dimension. You follow me so far?
I hear you about that.
What a window dimension means is it's a point between our plane of reality, dimension, whatever it is that you want to call it, right?
Yeah.
We have that on this side of the window. It is the me and you talking about the high strangeness of the world hanging out in radio.
Okay.
On the other side of the window, it's where everything that goes bump in the night, concrete-wise, not spiritually, but concrete, any cryptid, you know, anything like that, it lives on that side of the window. Yeah, you follow me so far?
I follow the window.
Okay. If, for whatever reason, window opens a crack, it lets in nonsense. You follow me so far?
Nonsense, please.
So, let's say window opens in West Virginia, lets in a certain winged humanoid with red eyes. It's got the ability to predict doom. Makes its own way over to Point Pleasant. Like,
of course.
Dang, dude, your bridge is about to collapse.
Yeah.
Causes a little bit of havoc, right? The bridge collapses. People are frightened by this thing, and people still apparently see it to this day.
Yep.
Why is, it's here now. Or, for example, window opens up. Vegetable Man comes out.
Okay.
Maybe Vegetable Man was attacked by something. You following me so far? Comes through that window, and Vegetable Man is here. And he is wandering around this area in West Virginia.
Universes, basically.
Yeah. I know it sounds crazy,
but
I think that the Vegetable Man makes more sense than the devouring gourd.
I don't want to believe it.
Okay. What's interesting about this story is that the Vegetable Man was able to regain his strength by drawing blood from the Jennings, the person who saw this creature. So once he drew blood, he had enough strength to get up and move and disappear. Jennings calls it the humming of a ship. I'm not buying it. I don't want to say it's extraterrestrial. I'm calling it extra dimensional.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this thing goes, it hops back over on the other side of the window. Reason why it's never been seen again. Didn't want to come back here. Obviously it was hurt. It was damaged for whatever reason. And what do you think the significance of the blood is?
Tomatoes.
What?
Vegetable.
I know I'm asking you. This is a legitimate question. Yeah. What do you think the significance is?
If the
Vegetable Man needed blood in order to exist.
Yeah.
My point is, what's human blood then to them on the other side? Is that why they come here?
Like
is,
V8, probably like a V8.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Are we a delicious treat to the veggie man or these things that go bump in the night? If you're inclined to believe something like this, and you're inclined to believe Keel when he talks about the window dimension and these things that are coming over, why would you come here other than maybe just being curious? I think it's the blood. Mm. I mean, it says it right here in the encounter. He was poked and the thing just left. It wasn't like, it didn't drain him to the point of death. It wasn't, you know, vampiric to that extent. But vampire vegetable man.
How do you defeat the vegetable man?
You know, I know Dr. Ben Vanderson's listening right in from the from Displains Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I told him to call in.
How do you defeat him?
Because he might be able to give us an answer on how to demolish the vegetable man. By the way, folks, our number is 219-845-1100. So give us a call back in. Give us a call in and let us know what you think. I'm hoping Dr. Vanderson gives us an answer. But if you see this thing, I don't know.
Locusts.
Really,
yeah. See, with the gourd, if the gourd bites you, can't you just bite it back? It's a gourd.
It was the size of a house, man.
That's even tasty. A lot to bite with that gourd. But the veggie man, again, you're kind of defeating a whole different, it's a person. Yeah, it's a veggie man. Whole other person there. So I don't know if you stop it with a vegetable processor. I don't know.
For the people that carry their ninja blender, right?
Yeah.
Or the magic bullet.
Magic bullet.
If you just carry your magic bullet wherever you go.
So you defeat it.
You might be able to defeat yourself, a vegetable man.
That makes sense right there. Well, again, parallel universe, what have you, no matter what you make of it, no matter where you go or what you see in life, to run into one of those vegetable guys, truly terrifying. Gourds, equally terrifying.
The devouring gourd.
Devouring gourd.
No!
I could go to the shop.
Absolutely. You know, I got to say something real quick.
What's that?
Don't panic. This was the most ridiculous episode I've ever
researched.
It was.
You know what, Bob? This does beat, I think, the walking pants.
The snitch walker.
Yeah. And I thought that was...
Listen, when I discovered the devouring gourd, it just all made sense. And I have to say, sometimes it's nice to, like, let loose a little bit.
Yeah.
Not talk... I mean, these things are terrifying. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's nice to talk about something a little ridiculous once in a while instead of taking ourselves so serious.
I hear you, Bob. And, you know, if you can't take a gourd devouring people seriously, then what can you take seriously? I think that's something to think about, Bob. Something to think about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Folks, thank you so much for watching, listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of myself and Count Panic, we just want to wish you guys... I forgot. You got to give your quip. What's your quip?
Bob, my quip is my thought of the day, night. If you walk through a field of gourds this year, watch out, because one of them may devour you.
My quip, because I was going to just jump right to the outro without the quip.
Quip.
This year... For on Halloween, make sure you carve a pumpkin and not a gourd.
Hey.
Folks, thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. My mom, I know she's listening, sweet dreams, and dad, wherever you are in the universe, I just hope that you're comfortable, happy, and doing whatever it is that makes you comfortable. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody, and remember the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above... So below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.